Hello, welcome to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio. I'm one of the hosts, Carol Gravet, and I'm here today with my two other hosts, Matt Spaeth and Susan Wright. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Carol.
Before we get started with our guests today, we just want to really thank all our amazing sponsors that we have. And we're going to talk about a few of those just briefly. One of the sponsors we have is Tammy Urbanek, who's a medium clairvoyant. And she is just an amazing woman. And if you've never had a reading from a medium or a clairvoyant, Tammy would be the one to start with because she is the best. And then we also have Karen Cantrell. Karen Cantrell is an animal whisperer, and she personally has helped me with my dog, and she just does incredible work. So pay attention when their commercials come on, and we just think they're great.
We also want to thank Jeannie Smith, a psychotherapist, specifically using Gestalt Therapy. Also, Mark and Nancy Duvall for Hole in the Wall Herb Shop. And Guy Harold, stainless steel cookware. Really high quality stuff.
So if it wasn't for our sponsors, we wouldn't be here. So thanks again. We'd like to welcome our special guest today, Mendy Heaps. Mendy is a middle school teacher, and she basically tried to get the junk food out of her school and was met with a little bit of opposition, to say the least. And Mendy here is going to tell her story. Welcome, Mendy.
Thank you. And I'm just thrilled to be here. Very happy to be a part of Food Integrity Now.
Thanks. So, Mendy, how did it all start?
I started in teaching in Elizabeth about 10 years ago. And previous to that, I had taught for 3 years at a school in Illinois. And the school where I taught in Illinois, they had hot lunches, but it was either eat hot lunch or bring your own from home. So I was pretty naive about what, you know, other schools were like. So when I got to Elizabeth, I was pretty amazed at what I saw kids having for breakfast and for lunch that they were buying at school. And I really started to notice it when I would have kids come into my room at lunch, you know, for either to get help with work or, you know, maybe they just needed some place to go. And a lot of them would have, their lunch would be maybe two snack cakes and a Mountain Dew. And I, you know, tried to talk to them a little bit and, you know, found out they were buying it in the school cafeteria. So I did, you know, kind of hung out there one day and checked it out. And they had a whole window where it was chips and snack cakes. And at that time, it was all different kinds of soda and ice cream. And I saw that a lot of kids, instead of eating any kind of lunch, were buying from the, you know, what I would call the junk food window. So I asked around a little bit, and other teachers had told me don't go there. It makes a lot of money, and it's always been here. It's just a part of the cafeteria. And being a new teacher, I didn't say anything. I was afraid. And, you know, but it really bothered me. I tried to talk to the kids as much as I could, you know, why don't you bring a sandwich or, you know, buy the hot lunch and try to talk it up a little bit. But, you know, sadly, I just, you know, didn't choose to fight that battle at the time. And a couple of years later, my husband, well, his problem started out with a kidney stone. And when he was diagnosed with the kidney stone, they found out he had bladder cancer. So he had three surgeries, three bouts of chemo, and, you know, very unpleasant experience. It's very hard to watch somebody go through all those things. And then not too long after the cancer, he was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and then high blood pressure. And this is a man who, when I met him, you know, we've been married for 8 years now. When I met him, the only things he ever drank were soda and coffee. And I could not believe the way that he ate. And, you know, we always kind of, you know, we didn't laugh about it, but we were amazed that nothing had ever happened. He had been pretty healthy his whole life. He wasn't really heavy. But when all of that started, I realized that it was all from his diet. He had not taken care of himself, and his body was just seeing the effects of it. So that was kind of a turning point for me. I thought, you know, I'm watching these kids and I'm seeing what they're eating, and they are being set up for this, you know, in possibly in their lifetime. So I one of the first things I did was I started selling apples in my classroom because I thought these kids are hungry. A lot of kids don't eat breakfast. And, you know, middle school kids, if they don't eat lunch till 11 or 11:30, they're hungry. So they need something to snack on. So, and actually a couple of other teachers did this with me too. We started selling apples. We started providing water in our classroom. We had big 5-gallon jugs. And so we tried to get the kids to eat apples and drink water. And that kind of led to, we started buying the apples in the cafeteria, but they weren't very good. So I just started going to Sam's Club. And I would pick up whatever I could get that we could sell for a quarter because we, you know, it was very important we not make a profit. So I would get bananas and, you know, sometimes I could get oranges I could sell for a quarter. Then I started getting some cheese sticks, just, you know, relatively healthy things. And fruit is great because it's like its own little convenient package, you know, an apple or an orange. And it's good. So I started doing that, and pretty soon the kids, you know, I teach seventh grade, so the seventh graders moved on to eighth grade. Well, they would come back to my room to buy snacks, and it started interrupting my class. So one day I just got the idea to put the fruit on a cart and take it around the school and sell it. So that's what I did. And actually, I had kids volunteer to do it. So the last period of the day at school was a discovery period. So that's when, you know, we would load up the fruit cart. A couple of kids volunteered. They would take it from classroom to classroom and sell the fruit for a quarter. And it got to the point where I was going to Sam's. I mean, they knew me when I walked in the door at Sam's. It was like, oh, the lady's here to get all the fruit because I was, you know, buying so much. And I kept hoping someone would notice and say, oh my gosh, look at all that fruit Mrs. Heaps is carrying in and she's selling it. It's going great. But nobody ever said anything. You know, everybody knew it was going on and everybody liked it. But, you know, no one ever really took the notice like I wanted to. Let's see, not too long after that, too, I started, the science teachers approached me and they said, you know, we're going to do this big unit on nutrition and we need somebody to do the language arts part of it. And I said, sure, you know, I will do the reading and writing, help you guys out. And so we planned this big unit. The principal gave us a half day either a whole day or a half day out of school to plan it at school. So we planned it. We were all excited. The next year we started with it and the kids were actually very, very interested. You know, we did advertising. We read a lot of articles about food and, you know, middle school kids kind of like it when you're, when they think somebody's trying to rip them off or, you know, so we got into the advertising quite a bit and the serving sizes and all that fun stuff. And it was good. I thought it was really good. And it was around that time too, I also hooked up with one of my students' parents owned a produce distribution agency in Denver. And so I told her what I was doing with the fruit. And she said, you know what, we can help you with the fruit. You know, we'll just deliver to you. They have what's called, they have a surplus every day. And it was a little bit cheaper, so I could still keep selling it for a quarter. So when they started helping me, I got blueberries, strawberries, all kinds of good stuff, pears. And I had kids that had never seen pears before. They didn't know what they were.
Yeah, like so, on the Jamie Oliver show.
Exactly.
Did you see that? Where kids had no idea what some of the fruit were.
So, the fruit cart, sometimes I had two carts that would go around. It was quite a little operation. And I also started emailing my staff at the school and the food services director and her boss, who is a financial director. And I had this naive idea that once they realized, you know, the effects of junk food and it wasn't good for, I mean, that was a point I was trying to get across, that they would say, oh, well, we can't sell this stuff. We're just going to sell fruit and vegetables. And that's not the way it was. And I didn't realize, I was pretty naive, that they make a lot of money off of that. And, you know, because it has a long shelf life and it's relatively inexpensive to buy, and so they can sell it at a good profit. So it wasn't, my emails were not well accepted.
Now, who makes a lot of money off of it?
I assume the district. Okay. I mean, I assume, you know, the food services department has to be self-sufficient. And then I suppose, I just assume any money they make goes right back to the school.
Okay.
So, which is what I had been told years before. Everybody said, you know, the other teachers said, don't go there because they make so much money off of it. And so, and I didn't bombard people with emails. I sent probably two a week. And I tried to find statistics and, you know, I tried to focus on the whole, how much better kids are able to learn if they're well fed, you know, if they're not bouncing off the walls or if they have snacks. And I don't know, I probably did that for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. And then one day I got called to the principal's office and he had a personnel memo for me to sign. And it was a list of 9 directives. And one of them was that I had to treat the staff with respect. I had to stop emailing. I had to stop the fruit cart. I had to serve time in the lunchroom every day to actually see what kids were eating. I was supposed to find out how much it would hurt, you know, the financial aspects of if that window was to close. So, but I never ended up doing that. But I did serve my time in the lunchroom and saw that not very many kids eat the hot lunch. You know, we have a hot lunch and we have like a deli line, and then we have the grab and go window, which is the junk food window. And most of the kids eat the deli line, which is the pizza and the corn dogs. And, you know, we have a beautiful salad bar, but, I don't see a lot of kids eating that. Yeah. You know, I see them eating, you know, buying junk. You know, some kids eat only junk, and then some kids will eat the lunch and then they'll go get, you know, a treat or whatever.
So you were basically reprimanded
for
trying to bring in the healthy food.
And I was crushed, absolutely crushed. I really thought that someone would notice this and say, look, you know, these kids will buy fruit and vegetables. They will. So we need to serve them. I had no idea that I would ever get in trouble. And I really feared that I was going to lose my job.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, we are going to be back in just a few moments. We are here today with Mindy Heaps, and she's telling her story about trying to change the system and get some healthier food to our kids, which seems like a really important topic. You are listening to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio.
Karen Cantrell. I'm an animal whisperer. I have the ability to connect with the energy of your animals. During our session, you will gain a valuable understanding of what the animal is experiencing and why, the ways that you can assist them, and also discover the information and support your animals desire to share with you to assist you on your own healing path. For more information, visit my website, healinganimalwhisperer.com, or give me a call at 303-974-1978.
Are you a person who is seeking understanding in your life, emotions, relationships, and/or career? Many people are ready for a new level of understanding. Are you? Work with Tammy at Empowerment Through Healing to discover the answers that may be hidden. Tammy is a medium clairvoyant and a life energy low Tai practitioner. Tammy can offer guidance through her work as a medium clairvoyant, working with your spirit guides to offer understanding at current life issues. Find more information and to contact Tammy, go to www.empowermentthroughhealing.com, or you may phone her at 719-641-2017.
This is Carol again, and I just wanted to talk to you about one of our new sponsors, Hole in the Wall Herb and Vitamin Shop up in Woodland Park. The owners, Mark and Nancy Duvall, are not only close personal friends, but they're also my nutritional gurus. They are now selling, teaching, and doing Acira bioenergetic testing on their clients. I had this done, and I found out all my food allergies, emotional stressors, environmental sensitivities, hormonal balance, and I received a customized homeopathic remedy. Please call them for more information at 1-800-437-3240. Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. We're here today with Mindy Heaps, middle school teacher in Elizabeth, talking about the troubles she got herself into in trying to change the system and get some healthier food in her school.
Yeah, we're talking, Mindy, before the break, you were talking about how you had instituted a fruit cart mm-hmm. and helping kids to have some nutrition in the morning. A lot of them don't come to school having had breakfast. Did you notice an effect after you had started to give them healthy choices to fuel themselves in the morning?
When we started selling the apples and providing the water, that's when we really saw a difference, because a lot of kids need that to kind of settle down or to stay awake. A lot of kids that come hungry are very sleepy. And if once they had an apple, a little bit of water, then they just perk right up. And for a lot of kids, it almost kind of gives them something to do so they can pay attention a little bit better. So we noticed the benefits of that right away. And that's why we kept up with it and decided to kind of expand it mm-hmm. and try to get, make it available to more kids.
That's great. And, I understand that there's been a few news articles written about your story in the media. One author, Ed Brusk, on grist.org had, I believe he was your first contact with the media and first one to run your story.
He was, Ed was. And I just, one night I was, doing a little bit of research on the internet, and I ran into his blog, which is The Slow Cook. And Ed lives in Washington, D.C., and he's very active in, the school lunch scene out there, trying to get better lunches. His daughter, I think, is a fifth or sixth grader. So he has been working very hard out there. And on his blog, he had written about he spent a week in a Washington, D.C. school kitchen. And it was all about how they prepared the food, what the kids had to eat. Very interesting. So I read his blog, and I wrote him a letter, and I said, told him about the fruit cart and everything, because I was so interested in his article. So he wrote me back and said, ask me a couple of questions, and, got a little more information. And he said, do you care if I write a story about this? And I said, sure. I mean, I was a little apprehensive. I thought, well, but, that's what it's going to take. People need to really know what's going on. So I said, sure.
Yeah, school lunch has been, it's been a big topic recently, or I guess earlier this year, when they were talking about, Obama was talking about school lunch funding and increasing school lunch funding. We had gotten into that a little bit on a show in which we had determined that in many cases, the quality of McDonald's hamburger is actually held to a higher standard than what we feed our kids in school.
Yes, I think that the school lunch program gets the commodities that are, pretty much left over. Mm-hmm. And, the schools buy them and then they sell them to companies that make them into chicken nuggets and corn dogs and things that they sell for lunch and kids like, but just aren't good for them. So to me, it seems like they're developing those habits. They're always going to want pizza. They're always going to want corn dogs, and they don't have a taste for much else. The same thing with the baked chips and the Ritz crackers and things they sell at the junk food window. They need to know that fruit tastes good, and salads are great. And so,
and really, a lot of that should start in the home, but unfortunately, it doesn't. So, I still think the schools have a responsibility to.
Well, I think kids eat like 50%. They get 50% of their calories a day at school, mm-hmm. and that's a lot of the argument I get from other teachers and administrators is that they're just going to eat it at home. Mm-hmm. But while they're at school, I only offer them good books to read. I don't say, well, they're just going to read junk at home. I'm just going to let them read junk at
right.
school. So it's kind of the same thing. You want what's best for them. And why would we, I remember, saying this at a meeting I was at, why would we serve kids or sell to them anything that we know is not good for them? I just don't understand.
The other thing is that They're going to notice the difference of how they feel from eating good food for a change. They're going to notice that they think more clearly. They don't have that kind of brain fog or the sugar highs and lows.
Because, you know, a lot of them will come in and because they know that I really want for them to eat well, and they'll shake their can of soda in front of me and look, Mrs. Heaps, I'm very hyper. I've had a Mountain Dew for lunch. And so they know it doesn't, you know, they know what it does to their body. So if that wasn't available to them, then, and they only had good choices, if maybe they had to choose between a banana or an apple instead of baked chips and an ice cream sandwich, I only give them good choices. So.
Yeah, it's got to start with the education to teach kids about nutrition. And I love that you were doing that.
And they were so interested. You know, language arts is sometimes a really hard subject for some kids in middle school. And they took off with it. They wanted to read. They wanted to find out more about, you know, what food does to their body. And so it was, it was fun. And the state of Colorado actually now has, our health teachers have a new curriculum this year with nutrition. So that's wonderful. I think that might help a little bit too.
So what is it like right now? What are you able to do? You can't do the fruit cart anymore.
No, I really don't do anything other than I talk to the kids once in a while. If it comes up in conversation, I don't really bring it up myself, but a lot of them will come to me and say, what happened to the fruit cart? Why don't we have the fruit cart anymore? And so I just tell them to, you know, go ask the principal.
Do you feel like if you wouldn't have signed that that memo that you would have lost your job?
I was afraid that day. I mean, I am such an unlikely person for this because I don't like to get in trouble. And when I saw that memo and I looked, and one of the things it said was failure to sign this will result in further disciplinary actions, I thought, well, you know, what else are they going to do to me? And I was so upset. I remember saying, you know, I think you're trying to fire me, or I think you're trying to get rid of me. And, I was told, you know, you just need to watch it. You just, you know, need to watch it. So, because another one on the memo, it's so that I had to make sure all of my, everything I was teaching matched up to the state standards, which I had. It's kind of interesting. Nobody ever came in to see what I was teaching. Nobody.
Prior to that.
Right. Nobody ever came in and said, let me see your lesson plans on this nutrition unit.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it was bad and I couldn't do it. So
what do you think the real problem that they had with this whole thing was? What's your take on it?
Well, I don't know. I've thought about that a lot. And sometimes I think, well, maybe I offended people that, maybe I was trying to tell someone, the food services director, how to do their job. And maybe she took offense at that. Or maybe it was just, they didn't want to lose the revenue that they were making. You know, I'm not really sure, but I have thought about that a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, I really commend you for, you know, trying to make a change. And a lot of people just feel like, you know, well, you can't fight the system, so why even try to do anything different? And I think as long as we continue to do that as a society, nothing will change.
And, you know, as soon as I got the memo, that's when all support went away. I had a few teachers that were helping me here and there, and after that, everybody was afraid, you know.
It's interesting how that happens. Mm-hmm. If you get reprimanded or you get in trouble, so to speak, then all of a sudden you're treated like a criminal.
Yes.
Regardless of what, you know, the right or wrong of, or the situation.
People that I had always gone to and talked to about this and agreed with me and said, oh, you're right, this is terrible, we need to stop this, now all of a sudden were the people that were saying, well, they're just going to eat it at home, you know, the school can't do much. And so it was really sad. And yet on the other hand, I understood. Because everybody needs their job, and nobody wanted to take that chance.
Let's talk a little bit about what actually is offered in school. I remember personally, for me, it was either eating pizza or some really gross brown green beans that with some mashed potatoes that the lunch lady slapped on my plate. We have a comment from Deborah 2009 asking, "What did we eat in school?" She says that she only had three meals: pizza, fish, and a meat-like burger with milk. No fruits, no veggies, no juice, no water. Mm. And she's 50. Well, that sounds pretty rough, Deborah. But I think it's probably gotten a little bit better since then. But Mandy, tell us about what are some of the other options at school?
Well, like I said, you know, we've got the three windows, and one window is the USDA hot lunch. And most of the time that is things like today it was some kind of bread. I'm not sure if it was a slice of bread, and then it had roast beef on it with a big dollop of mashed potatoes and then some brown gravy.
Do they use real potatoes in those, or are those the flakes?
You know, I have kind of really a restraining order. So I can't get too close to the cafeteria. So
I'm going to guess that they're flakes.
Yeah.
I don't have a
rebel though. How about that?
Yeah, really.
You know what? And you know what pissed them off more than anything else is that you stuck. And congratulations on that. Good for you.
You
got to stick. And you got to, you know, somebody has to care and not buckle.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, and I've read some articles about what are in typical, you know, I don't have a restraining order, so. and from what I've read, everything is pre-made. It comes in. It just needs to be heated up. It's got such a long list of ingredients and the seemingly simplest of foods that it would take a chemist to understand. That's what I've read.
And most of our lunches look really pretty good. And I think our lunch ladies do cook some of the meals. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this has turned into, oh, you're attacking the lunch ladies. They work so hard and this is making them look bad. And I really didn't mean to do that at all. I think they do work very hard.
With what they have.
Right.
Yeah,
and we have we have salad bars that are, you know, most of the time they're beautiful. And every day they do have, you know, a little bowl of fruit that, and it's always, I think, apples or oranges. That's pretty much all I've ever seen that sits there.
Well, we are going to take a break, and we are going to be back with Mindy Heaps talking about the school lunch programs and the trouble she got into. Stay tuned. Carol Gravet, and I'm one of the hosts of Food Integrity Now and a certified life coach, and I'd love to share an amazing adventure with you. Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the wild dolphins? I'm not talking about the ones in captivity at Dolphin Quest. I'm talking about swimming with them in the wild. I invite you to join me for a trip of a lifetime to swim with the dolphins. This all-inclusive trip is really a trip of a lifetime. To find out more, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or email Carol at carol@coachwithcarol.com.
Are you experiencing depression, anxiety, anger, or low self-esteem? Do you find yourself sabotaging what you really want to achieve? Jeannie Smith at Open Heart Healing can help you work through these issues to allow joy and quality back into your life. Jeannie has over 10 years of experience as a Gestalt therapist and Tai Chi practitioner, and her office is here in Castle Rock on South Perry Street. Jeannie works with adults, couples, and adolescents. Call for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373. Are you a person who is seeking understanding in your life, emotions, relationships, and/or career? Many people are ready for a new level of understanding. Are you? Work with Tammy at Empowerment Through Healing to discover the answers that may be hidden. Tammy is a medium clairvoyant and a life energy flow Tai Chi practitioner. Tammy can offer guidance through her work as a medium clairvoyant, working with your spirit guides to offer understanding at current life issues. Find more information and to contact Tammy, go to www.empowermentthroughhealing.com or you may phone her at 719-641-2017.
second, man. What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year?
Very good.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. In the studio with us today is Mendy Heaps, talking with us about school lunch and the endeavor she's had dealing with her school administration and instituting positive change. So before the break, Mendy was talking a little bit about what she went through, and we'd like to talk a little bit about the negative effects that she's seen in terms of the sugar, the high sugar content of these snacks that they're selling in school on your kids' performance and their attention span. Tell us a little bit about that, Mendy.
Well, one of the first things a couple of years ago that we noticed was the kids after lunch were absolutely off the wall. You know, couldn't sit still, were talking a lot, hyper, and then maybe after about 30, 45 minutes, they crashed, you know, sleepy. So a couple of the other teachers and I, actually another teacher came up with it. She said, why don't we rotate the schedule so that we have a different class after lunch every day and see how that goes. So only the seventh grade did it. And we did it for a couple of years and it was great. There is a difference. So that was one of the main reasons that we did it, though, was because of the kids being so wound up after lunch. And it was mostly the high carb foods, you know, we're sure. So, and even now, you know, I ask the kids from time to time, who had breakfast this morning? Or, you know, what'd you have for lunch today? And I can tell some, you know, it's the kids that are not eating well that, have the hardest time paying attention, staying awake, focusing on what we're doing in class. So it really makes a big difference for kids to be well fed. And I believe the water makes a difference too. You know, your brain needs water to function, and kids just don't like the taste of water anymore. They want chocolate milk or soda or Gatorade. You know, they want something with a taste in it. So we really push the water a lot too.
Let me ask you, Mendy, when you ask the kids what they've had for lunch or breakfast, do you ever have a twinge of, oh, maybe I shouldn't be asking them after this?
And so I always try to kind of make a joke of it and tease them a little bit and say, you know, what'd you have for lunch? A bowl of ice cream and a Hershey bar? And so, yeah, I really try to be careful.
So you feel like you somewhat have to censor yourself?
Yes, very much, very much.
Are there some kids that we're buying from the fruit cart that you've noticed have tried to make an effort after the fruit cart was no longer available?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because a lot of kids, you know, when I first started doing this, those kids are probably about sophomores now, sophomores, freshmen. And they'll come back and tell me, you know, we're still trying to eat good. And I had parents come and tell me the whole family was trying to eat better because of what their son or daughter was learning in school. And so they thought, wow, because I think it is a matter of education. A lot of people just don't maybe put it all together and think this really is going to make a difference. So that was good.
And that's all it really takes is just one person in a family to start making some changes. And at first it may not seem like it has any effect, but I know in my own family, just the changes I started to make in my own lifestyle really shocked me in terms of how my family members have changed the way they eat. And I wasn't even really trying. It was just by being myself, and the waves just spread.
And I think a lot of people got angry with me because they, you know, I kept hearing, just take baby steps, just take baby steps. And really, I thought getting rid of the junk food was a baby step. I thought if we start out by getting rid of the junk food and then more kids will eat, you know, maybe the hot lunch or the salad bar. But I just felt like I hit a brick wall with that. So, you know, I didn't have any place else to go. I thought, you know, I really thought I would get that accomplished or people would understand and, you know, offer better things, but it just didn't happen.
Did you find that kids did eat less junk food when you were offering the fruit cart?
I think so, because right now, so many of our kids, they forget to bring something to school. And with the fruit cart, the kids that had football after school or the girls that had volleyball or basketball, they would always buy a couple of pieces of fruit or a couple of cheese sticks to eat after school. And now I'm sure they're buying baked chips or whatever is at the junk food window. And the fruit, you know, sometimes you got to market stuff to kids, and the fruit isn't really very well displayed. I don't think. That's my opinion. Because when I did the fruit cart, I would, you know, you had the pretty bananas and the oranges and the pears, and, and they would just look at it, and you could just see their pretty eyes kind of say, oh, it's so pretty, and what am I going to buy? And, you know, I don't think I've ever seen bananas for sale there. You know, I mean, there's so many different kinds of fruit. And right now, you know, cantaloupe and watermelon are in, and,
mm-hmm. you know. It does take more work than just putting out a packaged Twinkie.
Yeah. And it doesn't last as long. I'm sure it's harder to, you know, make sure it doesn't go bad. But that's the kinds of things I think they would buy. Mm-hmm. They would like that.
Well, so what's your relationship like now with the lunch ladies?
That's where the restraining order kicks in. I just pretty much have, you know, they said that I was harassing them, and so I just pretty much stay away. Mm. I just try to, you know, and
there's an actual legal restraining order.
No, I call it a restraining order.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's
so
kind
it's,
of my,
yeah.
Because I do, I just really try not to, you know, I try to stay out of the cafeteria as much as I can. You know, I just kind of wander through and take a peek. And I didn't mean for that to happen. I was always really pretty good friends with them. I would go in the morning, and that's where I filled up my big water jug. Mm-hmm. And we would have conversations about our grandkids and, you know, what was going on. And so I did not mean for that to happen at all. So yeah. I feel very badly about that.
Yeah, I know on the Jamie Oliver show, a couple of the episodes where he met with a lot of opposition from the lunch ladies. And I think, you know, they do a great job, mm-hmm. and they're just with what they have. But as we know, change can be difficult for people. And it's like, how are we going to do this? And how are we going to change this? And he finally won them over.
He did. I'm not having that same kind of luck.
But. Yeah. Well, you don't
get the chance to talk to him.
Yeah. You're not on national television and have all that backing, but it, you know, kudos to you for the efforts that you've made so far. So,
you got into teaching some nutrition in your language arts classes. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
And so you were teaching kids about nutrition and teaching principles about nutrition. Did you find that it was many things that were new information for them?
Yes. In fact, I used a curriculum called Planet Health, mm-hmm. and it was created by the Harvard School of Public Health. Mm-hmm. And so it had lessons for every discipline. So I did the language arts lessons, and a lot of it was reading articles, doing graphic organizers. And the first day we did, read an article about carbohydrates and protein and different things your body needs. And they just, I was amazed, because sometimes it is, like I said before, it's very difficult to get kids interested in what you're doing. I had them work in partners. They were doing a graphic organizer, and they were, you know, oh my gosh, I eat a lot of that. And they were just finding out all kinds of new things. Another thing we did was we did a whole unit on reading food labels. And so they did portion sizes, and they loved that. They wanted to do that again. Oh, let's get some more cereal and see how much a serving is. And because, you know, serving size on a box of cereal is like 3/4 of a cup. And nobody eats 3/4 of a cup of cereal, especially a middle school kid. So some of them realized, I'm eating 600 calories worth of Frosted Flakes in the morning. And it was just so many eye-opening things for them doing that unit. You know, I got my hands on some very good videos that talked about, you know, what the different cultures do for breakfast, and how really the United States is the only country that has specific breakfast food. You know, if you're a middle schooler in Japan, you have fish soup for breakfast. And so they love that stuff. It was really very interesting. So
are you not doing that anymore?
No, I have. Part of that memo was that I get all my units approved. If I want to do any units, not like in my literature book, that I need to get those approved. Mm. So
you've been connecting with other people that have had the same issues. Have you come across anything, some interesting insights about how to change the system, or anything that anyone else has discovered?
You know, I haven't really made contact with any other teachers that have tried to do this. Most of the time it's parents. Mm-hmm. And I've heard from parents in Oregon and actually people all over the country. But it's almost always parents. Mm-hmm. I do hear from Mrs. Q. We write back and forth, and she, you know, keeps in touch a little bit. But that's really about it.
Tell us about Mrs. Q for people that don't know.
Okay. Mrs. Q is a teacher who's chose to remain anonymous, very wisely. And she writes a blog every day. She's eating lunch with the kids. So she takes a picture of the lunch and then she blogs about it every day. And it's very interesting. She knows she's kind of keeping track of how she feels and her health. And it's a great website. It's gotten very popular. I think she's halfway through now, halfway through a year. But she is anonymous, but she's drawn, you know, this big following. And I think she was on Good Morning America. And I know she's going to speak at the Mayo Clinic in the future and do some other good things. So she has really brought a lot of attention to this, which has made a lot of people think about it, you know, about what kids are eating at school. So that's really great.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, mm-hmm. what's more important than what we feed our kids? Yeah. And yeah. why would we scrimp nutrition for kids?
I'm always amazed at how, you know, everything I do at school is data-based. You know, I look at kids' test scores. All my lessons are based on data that I do. But yet, we've got all this data that shows what's going to maybe happen to kids if they continue to eat this way. And also, how much better they learn when they're well fed. But nobody pays attention to that data. And I don't understand why that isn't as important. If this would raise test scores, then I can't believe we're not doing it.
Well, I think we're kind of set up for that, the belief system that it doesn't matter what you eat. Because I remember doctors saying about whatever condition we had, oh, well, it doesn't really matter what you eat. Because mm-hmm. I remember asking that question, you know, does this matter? Does it matter that we eat sugar? No, that has no bearing on the condition that you have. And so I think the population is conditioned to think that it really isn't important.
Well, I remember when my husband got the kidney stone and I was pushing the water. I was like, you need to drink water. And I remember the doctor told him, drink whatever you want. If you want Pepsi or coffee or tea, go ahead, as long as you drink a lot of it. And I thought,
really?
Yes, that was, you know. Kind of scary.
And after five pots of coffee, he's like...
And, you know, a lot of people are very... they feel like if you want to tell them how to feed their kids, that you think they're a bad parent. And
yeah,
so I think a lot of people maybe think, you know, are looking at it that way. You're, you know, I know what's best for my kid, you don't. So that's kind of a problem, too.
For our listeners that are interested in checking out Mrs. Q's blog... It is fedupwithschoollunch.blogspot.com.
Thanks, Matt. We're going to take a break. You are listening to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio. We'll be right back.
Castle Rock Radio. The future of radio.
Hi, folks. My name is Guy Harold, and my family has been in the surgical stainless steel cookware business for 63 years. I am a value dealer. I sell for less. The cookware is used by Gearson and Price Pottinger, people around the world. Why? Our steel is non-reactive, non-porous, and is correct for your cooking needs. The temperature gauge knob tells you when the texture of produce and minimizes plant cell breakage, saving up to 48.9% more nutritional food value. The cookware has a lifetime warranty. No aluminum, no coatings, no cast iron, no ceramic, and no glass. Nothing to break or wear out. And you can stack cook up to 3 tiers high, saving you energy as well as food value. Call the Cookware Guy at 760-505-7057 or visit our website at www.stainlesscookware4u.com. That's stainlesscookware4u.com.
I'm Carol Gravet, and I'm one of the hosts of Food Integrity Now and a certified life coach. And I'd love to share an amazing adventure with you. Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the wild dolphins? I'm not talking about the ones in captivity at Dolphin Quest. I'm talking about swimming with them in the wild. I invite you to join me for a trip of a lifetime to swim with the dolphins. This all-inclusive trip is really a trip of a lifetime. To find out more, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or email Carol at carol@coachwithcarol.com.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. We've been talking with Mendy Heats. She is a teacher here in Colorado who has been trying to change the system as far as getting good, nutritious food into schools, and has been having a lot of difficulty with that and has been gotten in trouble for it. We want to start talking about the statistics of diseases and related to the way kids eat. And we were talking about that now 1 in 3 kids end up with diabetes.
Right. I think in the future, in this generation, it's expected that at least 1 out of 3 of these kids will grow up to have diabetes. And a lot of people don't realize the seriousness of diabetes and all the problems that are caused by it. And if we could just teach them how to eat, it would help them for the rest of their life. You know, if you're sick, you're not probably going to reach your full potential. That's kind of the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at it in my classroom with kids, I think, well, you know, who's going to get sick? Who isn't going to be what they want to be because they're not healthy? And I always think of, we're just missing this great opportunity to teach them, give them the skills they need to have a healthy life.
Mm-hmm. I know we were talking about the conditioning of the way people think about nutrition, and it seems like there's this idea that somehow our brain capacity and function is somehow separate from our health, and that also that somehow what we eat is separate from our health, mm-hmm. like it has no bearing upon it.
And I especially worry about middle school kids because, you know, that is such a huge growth spurt. And mm-hmm. I think I read somewhere that it compares to like birth to 2 years old. The growth spurt during middle school is just that big. So I always tell the kids, this is when you really need to be eating foods that are good for you and drinking a lot of water for your brain, you know, getting yourself set up for a healthy life later.
Right.
So very important.
Right. And there's not a whole lot of information for them. I mean, they're figuring out their own lives. They're very caught up in more like what they're going to do after school,
right.
or
they watch the commercials on TV. You know, it looks like Gatorade is good for you. It
right.
looks like baked chips are good for you.
Right.
And they're not. So it's very hard for middle school kids to also understand all that advertising.
Well, they're being bombarded with,
yes.
with the information. And actually, we're going to have a guest on our show coming up who is responsible for the legislation in California changing to get the Happy Meal type toys out of the food. In other words, if companies are going to market to children, they have to meet a certain standard. It has to have vegetables. It has to have a certain percentage of the calories coming from not just empty calories. So there are steps being taken.
There are.
Which is really exciting.
And
yeah,
I know a lot of my kids, they do eat fast food. You know, they maybe live pretty far out in the country, and so that's, you know, after football or after practices, then that's their choice lots of times. So if you know, kids got used to eating things and they wanted them, then those places would adjust and that's what they'd sell. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and if we change the diet of the children where what you were talking about, Susan, where they can feel the difference. And if they really start to feel the difference, then maybe that's a start to get them to make healthier choices, to know, you know, I don't feel as good when I eat, you know, French fries as opposed to eating something healthier. And I know that's, you know, probably a long way out, but.
Well, and last year, during track season, they needed someone to run a concession stand. So I had a healthy concession stand, and I just sold oranges and apples and granola bars and water. And a lot of people would come up, and they'd be surprised, but they thought, well, you know, this is really a good idea. These track kids don't need to eat candy bars and pop and hot dogs.
Yeah.
They need something, you know, good to keep them running and going. So I just wonder why little things like that don't catch on. You know,
was that before or after you had to
sign? This was after, but
wow.
I was...
Good for you.
I know. It was, but I have to tell you, it was a big joke. It became a big joke at school. But I didn't see it as a joke at all. I thought it was a good thing to do. And a lot of parents said, you know, we're glad you're doing this. So.
Yeah. And in high school, I ran track, and my track coach would not allow us to drink pop at all. Mm. And I haven't since then. Yeah. I mean, that was...
So how much did that impact your life?
A lot, since that is a huge... That's one of the worst things you can do is drink pop. So
yeah, I mean, just cutting out things like that. I mean, there's so much high fructose corn syrup just in sodas that, you know, kids... May not even be aware of.
Right.
Because everybody's drinking it, you know, and they...
And a lot of kids think because they're not heavy, they're not fat, that they're healthy.
Right.
And a lot of kids tell me that, Mrs. Heaps, but look, I'm not, you know, I can eat whatever I want. I'm not fat. And, you know, and I always tell them, just because you're not fat or just because you're not fat doesn't mean you're healthy. So you need to really think about how you feel and even how you sleep. Mm-hmm. If you have... You know, the energy drinks are very popular. And if you have two or three energy drinks, then you can't sleep. So,
right. And the precursor to diabetes is hypoglycemia, which probably a lot of those kids have if they're experiencing the sugar highs and then the sugar lows. And they're not aware of, this is why I feel this way.
So obvious in the classroom. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just see the crash and how hard it is for them. You know, I always try to get them to sit up straight and take a deep breath, but... It's hard when you feel that way to pay attention, you know, for 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon. So,
yep. So were the parents aware of what was going on with this whole food cart?
Yeah, I don't know if all the parents were, but a lot of them were aware and they were happy about it. Mm-hmm. I never got any questions about it really, or... I never had any problems with the fruit cart at all. A few parents were concerned that I was not teaching language arts properly after the fact, after some of this came out. Then they came back and said, well, you know, we worried that you weren't teaching language arts, but nobody ever came in and checked my lesson plans. I mean, nobody came to sit in my classroom. So I don't understand where they were when they were so concerned.
So where do you go from here with all of this? I mean, how do you feel about...
You know, I just try to, I really don't feel like I can do much in Elizabeth, which is really sad because those are the kids that I look out and see every day. Those are the kids I'm attached to that I want to help. But I just feel like it's just not good out there. You know, I mean, I just I don't feel like I can really do much anymore. So I'm going to work with Whole Foods this fall, and we're going to host a showing of a documentary called Two Angry Moms, which was, you might want to say a little bit about it. It's interesting.
Yeah. Two Angry Moms is two moms who virtually got fed up with what was being served to the kids in the school systems. So they decided to do a movie about it, a documentary. Mm-hmm. And we actually are going to have the producer, Amy Calaba, on the show on September 22nd. So we're really excited to have her. And you can't see Mendy right now, but she has one of the t-shirts on that says Two Angry Mom, fighting for the health of America's kids. How awesome is that? But how amazing is this that we have to fight for health?
Yes. Yeah. And it's just like when I started, I thought it would be so obvious to people, they would just say, oh, you know, we do need to get these kids to eat more fruits and vegetables. I was just so naive. I had no idea that it would turn into all of this.
It sounds like it's partially about the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, you know, how do we put a price on our kids' nutrition and their health?
And I'm hoping some parents, I've finally been approached by a mom who shows a little bit of interest in, you know, helping out. So,
okay. Well, Amy.
For people that want. Update on what's going on with Mendy. Her Facebook page, she has a Facebook group called I Support Mendy Heaps and Teachers Like Her. So if you're on Facebook, search Mendy Heaps and you can find it.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. Well, thank you again. We really appreciate having you tell your story on our show, and for your courage and for not being passive. You are listening to Food Integrity Now. You can listen to this show, tell your friends. It'll be archived shortly on Castle Rock and also on our website, which is foodintegritynow.org. And next week, we will be having Ewell Culberson from Pachamama Organic Farm talking about the importance of eating organic. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week at 2 o'clock.